Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to I Have a Strange Story Podcast. I'm pretty sure you introduce this.
No, it's you. It's episode 9. It's you.
This is the show where two sisters retell your scary stories.
We've been doing this for 5 years. So we really know what we're doing.
Thank you so much for joining us and for putting up with our shenanigans. And thank you so much for taking the time to send in your stories. If you have a spooky story, please send it to ihaveastrangestorypodcast@gmail.com, and we would be happy to read it. Also, please give us a rating, and if you do give us a rating, take a snapshot of it, send it to our email address, and we will mail you some physical stickers. And while you're at it, please give us a nice review, which I think I just asked for. Share us with your friends, please. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you. I'm a little bit discombobulated. What you've probably noticed is that we're on TV now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, feeling a little bit weird.
It's going great. It's going great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This whole night has just been smooth sailing.
2 hours just to move it to Skype.
Yeah.
It's just been smooth sailing.
What you got for announcements, so Lindsay?
I think in the last episode, I had been several episodes, I'd mentioned how I had a piece of equipment, because historically I always think things are missing, or I think people steal things from me, or whatever it may be. And there's a piece of equipment that my ex was like, "Hey, is that mine?" And I was like, "No, it's mine, dum-dum." And then we broke up because he's a dum-dum, obviously. And then I moved. And when I moved, I was like, "Would you look at this? I do have two of them." But then it disappeared.
Mm.
Well, then I had the luck of moving again. And I found it again.
Wow. twice in a year.
So I found it today. I was going to use it. I was so excited. I was like, "I'm going to use it. This is great." And I went to use it, and it doesn't work for any of my equipment.
And I was like, "Motherfucker." Man. Like, it's a useless piece of stolen equipment.
I know. That I defended with my life. I was like, "No.
I don't have it.
This is mine."
Gwah.
And then on a sentimental note, I did have another announcement. No, this is great. This is great to follow up with. Because I was sitting today and I was like, I used to be such a negative person and I am so positive now. I was like, I have changed so much. And I was like, and I think it's from doing the podcast, because I saw other people's perspectives, and it just really enlightened me and helped me become a more positive person. So I wanted to thank everybody for helping me not be negative. And I'm laughing because of what just happened. I was just awful.
And no,
look at how this keeps wrapping around me like it's a fucking bonnet.
Oh,
and I'm over it.
That's precious.
No, I can't. I'm just going to do this.
Okay.
I suppose. That looks a lot cooler.
Yeah, that is cool.
I'm really cool. Anywho, those are the only announcements I had.
That's really sweet. I think that's really nice that you take the time to say thank you to everybody. And I did that in the beginning, but I'm a little bit discombobulated. I am not a better person. I'm getting there.
Well, I didn't say I was a better person. I think that I'm just a more positive person than I ever used to be. Mm,
that's great. I love that.
For sure. I bet you don't do this. And if anybody just started listening, don't ever go back to the beginning of the show and listen to the first episodes. Like, just stay where you are. Maybe, you know, you can backtrack a little bit. The beginning is always awful.
Please,
yeah, just
please
stay out of there. But I was pretty, I was so negative and like just shitty in the beginning of the show. And I remember being like, "I don't know, I really enjoy science, and so I don't think any of this is true." Like, just a complete, like, if you go back and listen to it, it's like night and day.
It's really weird. Totally different. Yeah, I don't, yeah. I'm a little bit like kind of wanting to take those first couple of episodes down, but we're not going to, because we were growing and learning and we're better now, so.
But my concern is that people listen to the first episode or whatever, and they're like, oh my God.
They're awful.
Yeah. I kind of think, let's put a pin in that and talk about it later.
Yeah. Behind cameras, when cameras are not rolling.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think that then, if that's all we have, then you go with the first story.
It's me. So I first want to just talk about what this episode, or what my story is going to be about. It's a personal experience, okay. And this is really cool. Because...
Wait, is it yours?
No. Oh. It's somebody else's personal experience. Remember, I don't have personal experiences. I believe everybody else does, but not me.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is cool because there is a story behind it that is something that you can research. So we're talking about Mr. Boots today, or the Watcher. And Mr. Boots is this entity that lives in the Edinburgh vaults. And so he is this, like, he's described as this tall, imposing man wearing a dirty blue coat and heavy worn leather boots. And then he'll be seen, like, glaring in a doorway, just watching people, pacing tunnels, letting the tour, because this is a tour type of thing, letting the people who are on the tour know that they are not welcome. And they even hear him say, get out, sometimes. So he's that kind of ghost. And then some visitors even say that he can get a little touchy because they'll leave there with marks on their body that they didn't have before they went into the vaults. And so, I know, Lindsay, these are vaults in Scotland, in Edinburgh, let me just make sure, Edinburgh vaults in Scotland.
Dude.
We need to go there. Is that what you're going to say?
Let me tell you something. Okay. Well, do you remember the TikTok video I sent you of the coffee house with chihuahuas?
Yeah.
That's in Edinburgh, Scotland.
It's a sign.
This is crazy.
Oh my God. We have to go. We have to go see the chihuahuas, and we have to go see these vaults. Scotland has it all. Chihuahua cafe, scary vaults, handsome men that are romantic.
Okay.
That's from the Outlander. But anyways, there's a lot of different speculations as to who this person is. So they don't know who the Watcher is, but some people think that he was either a smuggler or a thief or a body snatcher. Cause in the 1820s, whenever these, vaults were used for, like, it sounds like store keeps or just places where shady activity went down. There would also be like these goods that they would be guarding. So like wine or whatever, expensive stuff. And so there would be a guard down there to make sure that nobody got in and got this stuff. Okay. And so, there's this area that he kind of protects, and it's called the White Room. And what some people think, though, that are on the tour, are the tour guides, think that maybe instead of him being a jerk and being like, you know, a protective ghost over these goods that aren't there anymore, some people think that he is actually protecting the ghost of a woman or a little girl who died there. Because he's in this one room called the White Room, and there was allegedly a woman that in there that died. So it could be anything else. Another theory is that I can't read my handwriting. We're back to that, folks. We're back to not reading. Can we cut this out? Okay. This is good for everything. It's just what I said. That's it. Please just take all that out.
You got it.
I know how you work. So this person's personal experience began where they were at the Edinburgh Film Festival,
and they took some time off to do some touristy things. And so they were staying at a hostel and they found this leaflet that was for the Edinburgh Vault tours. And so, like I said, there are a series of chambers formed in the 19 arches of the South Bridge in Edinburgh, Scotland. And it used to be a place for business until it was turned into a homeless shelter. And it wasn't opened back up until the 1980s. So the first part of the tour was above ground. It wasn't very spooky. It was during the daytime. And this person's had some paranormal experiences in the past. So it was a little bit disappointing to be like, oh, it's the sun. You know, there was nothing spooky. And so then they get to the entrance of the vault, which is in a door, like in a building. They go down some stairs. And before they head downstairs, though, the tour guide makes sure that everybody has their shoes tied and double knotted because the ground is uneven and they don't want to trip and fall or anything. You have something to say about that, don't you?
Oh, no, I just like it. I think that's a good touch.
Oh, okay, cool.
When I was a tour guide, I probably should have done that, but I didn't. I'd be like, get the fuck down there. Don't ask any questions.
Don't touch anything. Don't say anything. Don't question my English accent. It is real.
Keep your kids away from me. Let's go.
So this is where it got spooky. So this is the home of Mr. Boots. So he is the most famous of the ghosts, but there's also another one who is a little boy that lives down there, and he is attracted to motherly kind of women. And so he will, he's been known to like grab hands and untie shoelaces. I know, that's really sad, isn't it? Anytime there's children ghosts, I know, and he's just like, mama, you know, he just wants a hand to hold. It's so sad.
Aww, so that makes me want to tear up a little.
Oh, you're such a bleeding heart, Lindsay. So they enter this room where there used to be a fireplace, and they decide to and she decides to take a photo of the fireplace and the guide and this other couple. And she said that while she was taking the photo, she saw an image of like this man standing in the doorway. And this is a quote from the actual experience. She says, "I've never seen a face full of so much hate and evil in all my life. I can't even find words to describe how I hate my handwriting. Why didn't I have pretty girl handwriting? How menacing they looked. And how his face was twisted with hate. They looked human. It was a tall figure wearing a long black coat or cloak, and he was wearing a top hat. And they had white, pale skin, and they weren't transparent, but they were solid. So once again, they saw Mr. Boots. Mm-hmm. And whenever they first saw Mr. Boots, they said it wasn't just a visual they had. Then they had this visceral feeling that their entire left side went numb and cold, like frozen. They were stiff. They couldn't move. Oh. And they were just locked eyes with Mr. Boots. They couldn't do anything about it either. And then suddenly they felt something pulling on their left hand. And they were able to look down. They didn't see anything there. They looked up again, and Mr. Boots was gone. And so the tour is moving on, and they really don't want to be there, but they don't have any choice. Like, they have to get it. They have to go through to get finished. And she looks down, and she sees that her shoelace on the left foot is untied. And not only that, it looks like it was, like, bunched up in their fingers, somebody's fingers, and then just, like, placed, plopped on their shoe. And she gasped because she was like, what the heck? And that got the attention of the guide. And the guide was like, okay, so we get shoelaces untied, obviously, because we've got a kid in here that does that. And she's like, but I've never seen it look like this before. Like, this is really weird.
That is so cool.
I know,
that
right?
That is so much fun. Yeah. I definitely want to go there.
Yeah, I know. Wouldn't that be fun? That'd be so great.
Yes, it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So So they went through the tour, they finished, and then the story continues, though, because they went back to the hostel where they were staying. She was talking to the other girls that were in the room, and they were talking about the tour, and she just laid down and wasn't going to sleep or anything, just laid down. And then all of a sudden, the left side of her body, oh no, her whole body, did that same sensation. She got numb, she got stiff, she was frozen, she had her eyes just like half closed. She could see the girls like sitting there talking, but she couldn't move. She wanted to call out and reach out to them to like help her, but she couldn't. It was a really weird sensation. She says that eventually she was able to like open her eyes, and she just stayed up the whole rest of the night. This girl does have other paranormal experiences too. She mentions that it's always like on her left side that she feels something as well.
Oh.
Ain't that crazy?
Did you look up anything about that with paranormal experiences and
the left
anything
side?
On the left side?
No, did you?
No, but I'm going to do it right now.
Cool. Yeah, so, like, what would you do, Lindsay, if you saw Mr. Boots? If we go here, because I feel like we should go here, like, what are you going to do whenever you see Mr. Boots? Because you know you're going to see Mr. Boots. If there was a guarantee that you were going to see an apparition, what would you do?
Oh, I guess I would just, I don't think there's anything you can do to prepare for it. Like, once you see it, it's just something totally different. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I would freeze.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I would freeze and I would gasp and I would probably grab like whoever was next to me and be like, it's Mr. Boots. And I think that's all I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What would you do? Is there anything that you think you could do to prepare for it?
Yeah. I think that there are some things that you could do to prepare for it.
What?
Like you can just ask for protection. You can visualize protection around you.
Smart.
You can put crystals in your pocket. You can, you know, do something like that. Yeah, I think that you could prepare for that. And that's just like,
you're right.
I don't think that's going to scare anything away. I think it's just going to like make sure that you don't get like touched or anything. But what would I do if I saw Mr. Boots? Like, I don't know. I think that I would want to take a picture, you know, but I think it's just like everybody else in with a paranormal experience. They can't do it. Like, it's just like, it's there. Oh my God, I can't do anything else. Like that sense of getting evidence just kind of goes away because you can't even believe what you're seeing in front of you.
I mean, I would take pictures the whole time. That's what I did on that other tour that I went on.
Mm-hmm.
The one where I actually had like spheres and like whatever those weird things were coming up out of the rocks. Like I just kept taking pictures because I was like, something's going to be here.
Yeah.
And like, so I just took them. So I would probably do that the whole time. But
if
I literally saw him in front of me, like no way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be okay.
I think that I would really like to. I wonder if leaving a gift would be okay. Like if I went down there and left just something nice, like flower or something.
What if as you walked away, it like hit the back of your head? If he like picked it up and threw it at you.
Fuck you. Get out of here.
I think that's really thoughtful. You have such a thoughtful approach.
I
have a very fear-based approach.
I listened to a podcast actually from, I think it was called Cursed. It was that podcast called Cursed. And they did an interview with a woman who is a paranormal investigator, and her approach is completely different. Like she goes in as if she's going into somebody's house and like brings an offering and says, you know, and is polite. And
it's a good idea.
And I just think that's really cool. And that has really stuck with me. And I think that's that's a nice way to do it. You're entering somebody else's space. And so it's always nice to be nice, you know?
No, I agree. I think that's a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start taking that from because I think whenever I go in a place, I'm like, get out of here. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
I'm like, I take like, say it's the first thing I do. I'm like, I'm going to sage the shit out of this place. And you better not touch me or bother me.
I know, right?
But you're right. You can go in and be different. I like it.
Yeah.
That's a way more positive approach. That's
And you're a positive person now, Lindsay.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm so positive. So I can do that now. I like it. So Edinburgh, Scotland.
Yeah, we're going to need to go there.
Yeah, I've been wanting to go to like Scotland or Ireland or England. Like I want to go to one of those places for sure. I mean, all of them eventually. Mm-hmm, but yeah.
Yeah. We'll do that sometime.
Very cool. Well, I don't know if this is a good or bad idea, and I didn't warn you.
Uh-oh.
Let's see if we can make it through this one.
Oh, no. What, are we going to play Ouija board or something? Bloody Mary? Momo?
No. No.
Okay.
I have Zuzu? A few stories to talk about.
Okay.
And I think it's something that a lot of people experience, and I know that you and I have experienced it, and it's a little bit difficult of a conversation. And I picked it because of what is going on in my life right now.
Oh.
Because it's something that I just kind of needed to explore. But so I've had a lot of animals. And I swear to God that after some of them would pass away, I would always see them out of the corner of my eye. So I have a cat named Mama. And I always saw her out of the corner of my eye. Until this day, I still see her and Oliver sometimes. Aww. Now, not as much. But in the beginning, I saw them a lot. And then, so those are two cats that I had that passed away. And then I had another cat that passed away that was all black.
Mm-hmm.
And she died at a very young age of kidney failure. And I used to see her in my dreams. She would come to me a lot in her dreams. In my dreams. And then she quit coming to me in my dreams. And I think that we recently had a conversation where I was like, I wonder if my cat Lily now is the reincarnated cat who had passed away.
Yeah.
And now I kind of think so because she quit showing up in my dreams. And I'm like, it's because she's my cat again. So there's that. And then I had two dogs that passed away. And the first night after both of them passed away, I felt like they were still in my presence. So for one of my little dog Gozer who passed away, my other Chihuahua, I felt him come sit on my lap the day that he passed.
Aww.
And I remember feeling the weight and it scared me at first. I was like, what is it? And like, I kind of jumped and then I was like, oh my God, it was Gozer. Cause that's where he used to sit. And then when Zoe passed, I was holding my cat Lily and I was telling her that Zoe had passed and that she wasn't going to be there. And I was holding her and Lily looked down at the ground and like followed something
that wasn't there.
And I was like, I think it's Zoe. I think she came to like say goodbye.
Mm.
So like I've had a few interactions like that. And then I started reading a book that you recommended that's about, it's written by an animal psychic
mm-hmm.
who talks about animals who visit after they pass, or they reincarnate into other animals after they pass, or their souls move on to other animals after they pass and they come and visit you. So sometimes you've had an animal that's passed and then you get it again like years later,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, or sometimes they visit you and they're always with you.
Yeah.
Is what the book is talking about. And then I decided that my two dogs who passed visited me once and never fucking came back because they loved...
They love the afterlife other people? So much.
No, they loved other people so much more that I think that they're with them and not, which is fine because of course I want them to be happy. But I think they're like, hey, we loved you, but we're out of here.
Yeah.
Done here. So anyways, that's what I'm prefacing with. And so I have a few stories from other people who have talked about their animals, like visiting them. Here's the first one. So this is about a calico cat named Lydia. And the way the owner described Lydia was that it was Bart Simpson in a cat outfit.
That's adorable. It was a calico cat that tracks.
Yeah. And that it basically any thought that ever came into her furry head that she just did it immediately, like without any thought. And after she'd had her for about 7 years, she became really ill and she passed away. Mm. And she was really devastated and she was thinking about like how silly Lydia was and how she always had this certain sound that she would make.
So her owner would like hold up her favorite toy and Lydia would make the noise, or she would take out a brush and Lydia loved to be like groomed.
Aww.
And would make a noise. And so it was a few weeks after Lydia had passed, and she was cleaning her apartment, and out of nowhere she heard Lydia's little noise.
Oh my God, that's so sweet.
I know. I'm going to try not to cry in this episode. And she said it was just a noise that no other cat had ever made. It was very specific to Lydia.
Yeah.
And so she said that it made her feel really good to know that Lydia was still there with her. So I think it's super sweet. Oh, story number one.
Oh.
I have three more to tell.
Oh, shit.
I know. Maybe it won't be as hard. Like, let's see.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is from another woman. So she's had several animals over her past few years, and she is an adamant believer that they stay with you after they pass, or they visit you, and you know, those types of things. So she had an 18-year-old Maltese who passed away, and following her death, she heard her for many weeks afterwards. So she would hear her scratching at the door to go outside or to come in, and she would open the door of course, and her dog wasn't there, but she knew that, you know, her spirit was there. And then she would also always see her out of the corner of her eye. And one night she got up for water out of her bed, and she was walking down her hallway, and she saw like a cat's tail like swoosh and go around the corner, and she was like, oh, it's Abraham. And then she was like, Abraham's been dead for 10 years, but she saw his little tail whip around the corner.
Wow.
And so she knew that Abraham had been visiting her as well.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know, it's super sweet. I know, it just reminds me, recently I was, so whenever you live by yourself, number one, and whenever you have animals that are very needy, like I do, number two, sometimes when you go to the bathroom, you just leave the door open. It doesn't matter. You live by yourself. Nobody else is here. Your animals are going to bother you. Fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah.
And so what's so weird is that's whenever I see my other cats the most.
In the bathroom.
It's whenever I'm going to the bathroom, I'll see them out of the corner of my eye, like in the hallway.
Yeah.
I see Mama all the time.
Wow. That's really awesome.
Yeah. I still see her. And Mama, I put her to sleep, or she passed away like 10 years ago. It was 10 years ago.
Was it?
She,
I thought it was longer than that.
That's insane.
No? Just 10? Wow.
Whew. Story number three. So this is about Sunny Boy, who was a beloved cat that this family had adopted from a pet center. What is it called?
Shelter? Animal shelter?
Yes. Like an animal shelter. Oh my God. And one day Sunny had gotten outside, and Sunny, you know, they had adopted him. And I think that prior to being adopted, he was in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they adopted him, they had a hard time getting him to only be indoors, and he would kind of take off.
Yeah.
So he took off this day and they couldn't get him back in. And unfortunately, her daughters found him in the road that day
because
he'd been hit. I know. And they were really, really upset. It was really hard for them to lose Sunny. And she says about a week after he passed, that she was laying in bed and they had another cat, and she felt her cat jump up from the bottom of the bed, and it walked up and she felt the little feet, and it plumped down behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And she reached behind her to pet him, and he wasn't there. And she did a double take. She got up and looked, and there was nothing there. And she was like, oh my God, it was Sunny.
Aww.
And then she said it happened a few nights every night, that she would feel a cat jump up on the bed and walk up and lay behind her. And that her daughters also said they had the same thing happen.
Mm, that's really sweet. Ugh,
I know. So she said that whenever she would feel him lay behind her, she would always turn and tell Sunny that she loved him and she missed him.
Aww.
But he was always visiting her, I know.
Aww.
It's so
hard.
Sad.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the last one. I think I can make it through it. So this is about a woman who, so as a kid, she had a little Pomeranian, and she said that of course, shouldn't have had it when she was as young as she was. But as she got older, she and the Pomeranian, his name was Candy, that they got really close. And she had a bicycle that had a basket in front, and that she would put Candy in the basket and they would ride around the neighborhood.
That's adorable.
It was really cute. So then, you know, Candy passed, and fast forward like 15 years or so, and she's married and she has kids and all those things. And she went and met her husband for lunch, and he had been working in someone's house, I think like repairing a refrigerator or something. And he had left the house, met her for lunch, and he was like, "Hey, have you ever heard of a dog called a Pomeranian?" And she was like, "I have. I had one when I was little. I loved him." And he was like, "Yeah, the house I just left, they got a puppy Pomeranian for their daughter for her birthday," which is a bad idea. Little dogs shouldn't be presents for children. I'm just saying that as an advocate for little dogs. And they don't want it anymore, and they're trying to get rid of it. And he was like, "So if you can, put your feelers out there and try to find, you know, if any of your friends want them." And she was like, "Give me their number." And she called them, and she was like, "I want your Pomeranian." And she just went and got it. And so this little, it was a little Pomeranian who she said looked just like Candy, and its name was Katie.
Oh, that's so weird.
I know. And she was like, she said it was just like identical, and that it was just so shocking for her. So she went and she got Katie. And at one point she had a friend come over, and she said that her friend was sitting on the couch, and that Katie walked over and just sat in her friend's lap and facing her and stared at her. And she said that she and her friend and Katie stared at each other very intensely for like a few minutes, and she was like, "What the fuck's going on?" And then Katie got off her lap and walked away. And her friend said, "Whew, she is an old soul."
Oh.
And she was like, "What do you mean? Like, what are you talking about?" And she was like, "Did you have another Pomeranian before?" And she was like, "Yeah." And she was like, "That's her. She came back to you. She said she's been waiting for you for years to find her again."
That's so sweet.
Yeah. I know.
Aww.
And she said that she was like, "What?" And she was so shocked. She didn't know her friend like had that ability or whatever. But she just said that she was an old soul who had been waiting for her for years, and that she was very happy to be back with her.
Ugh. Oh my God. That's so sweet.
Talk about an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyways, I thought they were really like heartwarming, like, stories. I don't know if it ever makes it easier. I think that I always hope that it makes it easier, but I don't know if it does to know those things. But like, so many people have those experiences. Mm-hmm. I definitely think they're real.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still like wrapping your head around missing the physical like presence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's hard. I have my own type of kind of experience with that. Like, so whenever my cat Wicket died, like, we were like this, me and my cat Wicket.
Yeah.
Whenever she died, there was just like one day where I knew that she was gone. Like, this was after she had died, and it was like, I don't know, a couple of days or a couple of weeks, I can't even remember, but I was like working, and all of a sudden, like, I just knew that she was gone. Like, she wasn't, like, her presence was completely gone after that. And recently, I have been seeing my old dog's name everywhere. Like, on license plates. Like, so my old dog's name was Foo, and we spelled it F-U-U, but what I see everywhere now is F-O-O, which is what people would, how people would spell it, you know?
That's how you pronounce it.
That's how you pronounce it, exactly. But I see it everywhere, and I just think sometimes that that is, like, just her, you know, like, saying hi or whatever. Gosh, what else was I going to say about that? And sometimes I wonder if, like, my dog Bruce is a reincarnation of Foo. Because she, or he, whenever I adopted him, I don't know if I've told this story before or not, but, like, we went to the animal shelter, which was in another city. It was, like, 20 minutes away or something like that. And I had never met him before in person. It was just something that you saw, like, on Pet Finder. I saw his picture. And I got there and I sat in the back seat with him whenever we were driving home. And I just looked into his face and I was like, I know you. Like, there was this recognition of like we've met before. It was, it was wild. It's something that I can't really like explain, but it was just this knowing that I knew this dog. It was wild.
Well, one thing that I read was that, you know, that your animal has come back to you when an animal kind of comes to you out of nowhere. Mm. So I thought about that with your, other cat,
Kiki.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause she came out of nowhere. But I also thought about that with Lily. She came, so I got Lily because y'all had cats dropped off at your shelter and you were like, hey, do you want a cat? Do you want to foster? And I was like, I'll foster.
Yeah.
And like, but if you think about it, she's a lot like my cat who passed.
She's a lot like her.
She's very much like her. And we're very close. And I was talking to my boyfriend about her today because I was telling him how I told you, I was like, she's a nut in the morning and she wakes me up and she's awful. And like, I'll get up and I'm grumpy and she's woken me up and she'll run and like throw her body on the couch and like roll around. And I'm like, she even knows I'm mad. And she's
she doesn't still care. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And she likes roughness. Like she really likes to be patted really hard on her butt. Mm-hmm. And then like, if I push her, she'll be like, meow, and like throw her body down.
That's so cute.
She's so silly. But my other cat who passed was also really silly and like laid on me and was very close to me. So I don't know. It's just interesting, how things happen.
Now that you mention it, I feel like I've had three cats that have similar personalities that have all come after each other. So like we had our childhood cat named Babykins, which was an orange female cat who was my cat. She loved me very much. And she was kind of crazy. Like, she was a really cool cat, but she was rough, you know? She was bitey, and she was she was very much like a mom, I feel like. Like, some type of parental figure or whatever. And then my cat, Wicket, was kind of the same way. Like, she was super mouthy. She was a girl cat, you know? And then after she passed away, here comes Kiki, literally 4 days after my dog, Foo, died. Out of nowhere, she showed up. And she's the same way. She's, like, mouthy silly. And, like, it is interesting how we've gotten kind of the same pets throughout the years, just in different bodies.
I thought about that with our cat, Jessica, who was my cat. Kelly. Yeah. So Jessica and Kelly were both my cats, both very sweet and like little ballerinas is kind of what we used to call them.
Yeah.
And then my cat Wee Wee and then Lily. I think they're all the same.
That is insane.
Right?
Yeah.
Because those were all mine and they were all just little dainty female cats that were like, I was close with. As kids, it was hard for us to be close to them because they were always outdoor cats because our parents didn't let them in.
I mean, this is just off topic, but I feel like we did pretty good with our outdoor cats. Like, we were outside a lot and we played with them and
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we were close to them for sure. But it was Kelly, right? Not Callie.
It was Kelly. Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's super cool. Something to think about.
Yeah.
And like any other listeners, like, do y'all have any experiences with your animals like that have passed and maybe you think were reincarnated? Like, and if you're struggling with it too, the book that I'm reading that Rebecca recommended is There Are No Sad Dogs in Heaven. Mm. It's a little hard. I mean, it's hard. You're going to cry. you're going to cry for sure.
Yeah. If you have a pet that's passed or that is in the process, you know, for me, I read it after my dog Foo died and it was so helpful. So yeah, if you're going through the same thing, you might want to check that out.
Yeah, super good book, but I also got one story. I couldn't find enough stories because I also wanted to explore people who had near-death experiences and saw their animals. And there were a few, and there was one guy in particular who he had almost died, and he saw lights and everything and had felt his like soul like ripped out of his body and ascending up or whatever. And he said when he got there, his cat was there who had passed.
Oh, thank goodness.
And he was like, I know. Ugh. And he was like, I'm so happy to see you. He was like, am I supposed to be here? And he said that she said, meow.
Oh.
And then he said he got sucked back down.
Meow. It's so cute.
But so all the stories were very, very short, and it was kind of hard to like get enough out of them. But there were a few people who mentioned that with their near-death experience that they had ran into their animals before they came back.
I love that.
I know. Great. I thought it was pretty good too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to be like, it'll be like 5,000 animals.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever we get to heaven, it's going to just be animals for us on the other side, basically.
Yeah.
All the mice.
Hamsters.
All the hamsters.
Mice.
You guys don't even know.
Rats.
We had so many animals whenever we were kids. Mm-hmm. So many. Cats and mice, I think, were the number two, or the top two. Hamsters for
a while.
I feel
like I had a ton of hamsters.
Yeah, I think you had some hamsters.
But anyways. We made it through. I didn't cry.
Congratulations.
I am controlling my emotions, which there's nothing wrong with being emotional, but I feel like I do such a better job because I've worked on myself.
Yeah, definitely. I'm still doing that.
Yeah. So I think that that's all I have.
Yep, that's all I have as well.
Okay.
Well. Now we get to see all the stupid faces that I make. Adieu.
Well, you're supposed to, like, aren't we supposed to outro? Is there no outro? Oh, there's no outro anymore. We just say bye.
Bye.